Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And welcome to our Easter service for 2022, where it's traditional for us to begin by saying, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Glad you think that, and if you don't, we'll change that as we go along, hopefully. So today is a service that you just follow along on the screen as we explore the prospect and the thought that at Easter, Christians believe that a buried body began to breathe, a theme that we've used for Good Friday as well. And so we begin by confessing our faith together in that statement, joining with many millions around the world and throughout history who have stood and declared together their faith in the resurrection. Let's do that now. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Would you please be seated? As we begin our service with this opening prayer, God our Father, by raising Christ your Son, you conquered the power of death and opened for us the way to eternal life. In our celebration today, raise us up and renew our lives by the Spirit that is within us, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. We stand to sing the hymn, Jesus Christ is Risen Today.
Upon the cross, Alleluia.
Confirm our goal in life, which is to love as God loves. For Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the greatest and most important commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. Lord, have mercy on us and write your law in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Doesn't take us too long to reflect on our lives and see that we have failed to keep God's commands. So let us confess our failure to love as God loves. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have gone our own way, not loving you as we ought, nor loving our neighbours as ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We deserve your condemnation. Father, forgive us. Help us to love you and our neighbour and to live for your honour and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The good thing is the Bible tells us that we can receive God's forgiveness because of what happened at Easter. In his mercy, Almighty God has promised forgiveness to all who turn to him in faith. He pardons you and sets you free from all your sins. May he strengthen you to do his will and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the thing about forgiveness is that forgiveness fosters fellowship. It makes it possible for us to commune with our holy God. Hence, Holy Communion. You that truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and harmony with your neighbours and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from now on in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to comfort you. We are the people of God.
His Spirit is with us.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
He is worthy of our praise.
You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Therefore, we lift our voices to praise you, saying,
Holy, 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 is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
We praise you for your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who by his death on the cross offered once for all and for all time the one true sacrifice for sin, reconciling us to you and satisfying your just demands. By rising to new life, Jesus has secured eternal deliverance for his people. Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive praise and honour and glory and power forever and ever. We thank you, Father, that on the night before he died, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the meal, he took the cup, and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Father, we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine and pray that we who eat and drink them, believing our Saviour's word, may share his body and blood. Amen. We eat the bread and drink from the cup of the Lord to proclaim our fellowship in his death. We do this until he returns. Come, Lord Jesus. Let us take this holy sacrament of the body and blood of Christ in remembrance that he died for us, and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. All who love the Lord are welcome at his table. We encourage families to come up together. The common cup hasn't been used for a while because of COVID, so we have individual cups of either grape juice or wine as an alternative to the cup, and all the bread is gluten-free.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Father, thank you for feeding us who have received these, your gifts of bread and wine, with the spiritual food of the body and blood of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Thank you for your assurance. Thank you for assuring us of your goodness and love, and that we are members of his body. Renew us by your Holy Spirit, unite us in the body of your Son, and bring us with all your people into the joy of your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, if we do happen to have any children, well, that's a blessing, isn't it? We even have a different video to the one we had on Good Friday, which is even better for those who come twice. So if the kids did want to come up closer and have a better view, they're quite welcome to do so. Take a front row seat, sit on the floor, do whatever you like. Have a look at this video on the screen.
God's story, Easter. So part of God's story is about Easter, and it begins like this. You might know Easter as the Sunday a ginormous bunny hides chocolate inside plastic eggs. But Easter is really all about how much Jesus loves us and how God sent him to rescue us. Remember how the Jews, God's special family, were waiting for a king to come rescue them? Well, Jesus was the king, and this rescue was the whole reason he came to earth. God had already rescued the Jews once before, but this time it was going to include everyone. So one night, Jesus told his friends about the rescue. Exciting, right? But talking about this rescue was sad. That's because Jesus was going to rescue the world by dying. Kids, every mean or bad thing we do deserves punishment. By dying, Jesus took our punishment. Lots of things in life have good parts and bad parts. And just like candy bars are mostly good, as long as you brush your teeth after you eat one, this story is a really good one. Anyway, talking about the rescue made Jesus sad, since he didn't really want to die. Thankfully, we can talk to God when we're sad, so Jesus took a few friends into a garden to pray. In the garden, a guy named Judas, who people thought was Jesus' friend, came with some people to help arrest Jesus. Then Jesus was taken to trial. One of the most powerful men in the city, Pontius Pilate, wanted to let Jesus go. But many of the people wanted Jesus to die. They didn't believe he was the Son of God or any kind of king. Even after all the miracles Jesus did, like healing sick people and making blind people see, they didn't believe in him. The people were so mad, they started yelling, "Kill him!" So Pontius Pilate let the soldiers take Jesus. The soldiers made fun of the idea that Jesus was a king. They put a crown of thorns on his head and nailed him to a cross. Once Jesus was up on the cross, the sun stopped shining for 3 whole hours in the middle of the day. But those soldiers kept right on making fun of him. They said, "If you're really God's son, why don't you just call on some angels to save you?" Jesus could have called on angels to save him, but he loved us so much that he wanted to rescue us. So instead, he prayed to God, "Father, I place my life into your hands." At that moment, Jesus died. And when he died, the soldiers who had just killed him realized he really was the Son of God. Later, Jesus was put into a tomb and a big rock blocked the entrance. Jesus' friends thought that was the end. But 3 days later, God sent an angel to roll the stone away. Don't worry, Jesus could get out on his own. The angel moved the rock so everybody else could see the tomb was empty. Jesus' friends were the first to stop by the tomb. The angel said, "He has risen," which is another way of saying, "Jesus is alive." Nobody could believe it. Jesus took our punishment and then proved he really is the Son of God by coming back to life. Now, if we choose to follow Jesus, God forgives us for all the wrong things we do because Jesus already took our punishment. And that's the story of Easter. But that's not all there is. Here's a quick version of what happened after the angel told the good news. Jesus' friends got scared. Jesus appeared to them. They saw his scars. It was really him. Now they could share the good news too. Jesus appeared to more than 500 people. He went back up to heaven, and the best part, he promised to come back someday for everybody who follows him. And all that is a part of God's story.
Unless you want to be spat on the minister when he preaches, you can return to your seat. Doesn't always happen. Depends how excited I get when I'm talking. Oh dear. Non-scripted. Don't read the bits that aren't in the script. This is part of the script. We talked about God. God will speak to us in his word, and we speak to God in prayer, and we pray for the world, the community, and the church.
The Collect for Easter Day. Let us pray that we may rejoice in the victory that is won for us. Lord of all life and power, who through the mighty resurrection of your Son overcame the old order of sin and death to make all things new in him, grant that we, being dead to sin and alive to you in Jesus Christ, may reign with him in glory. To whom with you and the Holy Spirit be praise, honour and thanksgiving, now and in all eternity. Amen. Risen Lord, today around the world your church lifts up its voice in joy, not death and darkness. For through your incomparable sacrifice we have life abundantly. You blessed a room full of frightened disciples with your presence, and they took heart and went out into the world to tell your message and shepherd your people. You gave comfort and joy to the women who came to honour your wounded body and were the first to tell others, "He is risen." As we hear again the story, may we too know the joy of sharing this message with all we meet. Bless your ministers in every place, but especially in this our city and our parish. Kanishka, our Archbishop, Chris, our Bishop, and Eric, who bears the burden of care of our souls here in Greenwich. Comfort them with your loving presence, enrich them with your wisdom, strengthen and refresh them and their families with the peace that passes all understanding. Strengthen your people for their witness and work in the world, and empower your ministers faithfully to proclaim the gospel and administer your holy sacraments. Unite in truth all who confess your name, that we may live together in love and proclaim your glory in all the world. Father, hear our prayer. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Wars and rumors of war, plague and pollution, floods and more floods. We bring our petitions, Lord, knowing that despite our blindness, you are in control. Equip us, Lord, to be your peacemakers when we find strife, to love the unloved and the unlovely, as you gave yourself to the crowds who came in want, and that knowing that all we have comes from you, to grow a generous spirit that is willing to share. We give you thanks for those with indomitable spirit who have defended homes against unjust aggression, raging floodwaters, and unceasing health crises. Lord, they are all so weary, they think we do not care. Protect them from compromise and despair, refresh and restore them, and give them the strength to go on. Lord, we know that all authority is vested in you, but you have granted to us the responsibility and privilege of determining how it is exercised in our nation. Grant to all who seek to influence us in the exercise of our responsibility, integrity, vision, and discernment, that we may seek that which is good in your sight and not evil. May we not only listen to their message, but hear and understand. May we treat with respect the honest arguments of another even when they do not align with our own opinion. And grant us the strength to keep on doing this until election day. Give wisdom to those in authority in every land, and guide all people in the way of righteousness and peace, so that they may share with justice the resources of the earth, work together in trust, and seek the common good. Father, hear our prayer. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you, Father, that you sent your Son to walk among us, teaching, healing, and restoring. We pray for all those in our parish who seek to share your word, for those who take SRE to school, for those who teach Sunday school here in church, for our Bible study groups, for those bringing us music in church, and for all who assist in the service. Grant to them quiet and patient hearts, encouragement from those they serve, and the joy that comes from knowing that they do your will. All things come of you, O Lord, and of your own have we given you. Help us to turn our eyes out to the needs of our community, our service in gratitude for all that we have received, our actions an expression of our faith. We commend to your keeping, Father, ourselves and each other, our neighbours and our friends. Enable us by your Spirit to live in love for you and for one another. Father, hear our prayer. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father God, those of us who have never known the sorrow that comes with the death of a child, thank you that you spared us. But you gave your Son to die, that we who believe might have reconciliation with you on earth and life eternal. Today we witness to the joy of resurrection. May we take sorrow and joy and weave them into the fabric of our lives, comforting those who weep, strengthening those who need our help, listening to those who need to be heard, walking alongside the frail and needy, shining the light of your risen countenance on the dark and scary places of our world. Especially today, we bring before you those who have asked for our prayers. Robin Allen, Fleur Fowler, Murray Holmes, Vernon Ireland, Graham Lowther, Margaret Roberts, the friends and family of those who mourn the death of Judy McMahon, and those we hold in our hearts. Comfort and heal, merciful Lord, all who are in sorrow, need, sickness, or any other trouble. Give them a firm trust in your goodness. Help those who minister to them, and bring us all into the joy of your salvation. Father, hear our prayer. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We praise you, Lord God, for your faithful servants in every age. We pray that we, with all who have died in the faith of Christ, may be brought to a joyful resurrection and the fulfillment of your eternal kingdom. And let us pray for the people of Ukraine. Sovereign Lord, you observe all who dwell on earth. Have mercy, we pray, on those who now suffer the miseries of a war not of their own making. Have compassion on the wounded and dying. Comfort the brokenhearted. Confound the hatred and madness of those who make war. Guide our rulers. Bring war to an end. Bring peace across the world. Unite us all under the reign of your Son, the Prince of Peace, for whose judgment seat the rulers of the world will give account, and in whose name we pray. Amen. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We'll stand now to sing together the hymn, In Christ Alone. Spoken to God, God now speaks to us through his word. And just before we do that, I'll pray. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and for showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your word so that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
The reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, beginning at verse 36. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified, and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he ordered their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. Here ends the reading.
One of the shortest and most powerful messages given by Jesus was when he hung on the cross and said, "It is finished." After he said that, he died. And for centuries, Christians have proclaimed that Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried. One of the shortest and most powerful messages about Jesus was given by the disciples 3 days later when they proclaimed, "He is risen." For centuries, Christians have proclaimed that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. As Christians, we believe that a buried body began to breathe. But we do not celebrate a resuscitation. We celebrate a resurrection. From beginning to end, the Bible points us to the death and resurrection of Jesus. The life and teaching of Jesus has had a huge impact on the world at large, but it's the resurrection of Jesus that brings us our true hope as Christians. The fact that a buried body of Jesus began to breathe changes everything. But before we find out why, let's ask God to guide and teach us. Almighty God and Father, your word is truth. Through it you challenge us and change us. By it we are equipped for every good work. Please open our eyes that we may see your truth. Open our minds to understand it. Open our hearts to receive it. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, many of us are old enough to remember the song, "What's It All About, Alfie?" It's a song that questions the meaning of life. The middle verse of the song makes this amazing statement: "As sure as I believe there's a heaven above, Alfie, I know there's something much more, something even non-believers can believe in." This could have been the theme song of the first disciples of Jesus and of every follower of Jesus since then. Something happened to those first disciples that changed their outlook on life. They now knew there was something much more to their existence than just this brief life in this troubled world. And they took this newfound meaning of life to a world of non-believers. Centuries later, there are billions of believers around the world who can attest to that same truth, that there is something much more to our existence. And yet there are still millions of people who remain unsure of life's purpose. I heard David Attenborough say that he wasn't sure. He wasn't sure if there was a God behind all the wonderful wildlife which he has spent most of his life investigating. He raised all the different religious explanations from around the world and across time and said there's really no way of knowing which, if any, was true. Well, not a very good David Attenborough impersonator, but that's close to what he said. But is his statement actually true? There's no way of knowing which is true. Is that true? The first disciples of Jesus lived in a multicultural and multi-religious world. How were they supposed to determine the right religion? Well, according to the great atheist argument, they were Jewish because they were brought up by Jewish parents in a Jewish culture. But something happened that changed their religion and made them willing to die for their new understanding of life and death. The man they'd seen crucified, dead and buried, rose from the dead 3 days later. And that event made a dramatic and permanent change to their faith and behaviour. Even though Jesus had told them that this would happen, they were not expecting it, and they found it incredibly difficult to comprehend it and to accept it. As we heard in our reading, Luke records, in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. And I have to ask, I think we all need to ask, why? What was so hard for them to believe, taking into account that they had already seen dead people come to life before? In their journeys with Jesus of those 3 years of ministry, they'd seen the widow of Nain's son rise to life on his way to the funeral. They'd seen Lazarus, a man who'd been dead for 4 days, which is way beyond saving, basically. They'd seen him come back to life. The atheist argument is that these were primitive people living in non-scientific times and they were gullible and they'd believe anything. The disciples believed in miracles and they'd even perform some miracles themselves. And yet they struggled with the reality that Jesus had come back to life. Why? What was it that made them struggle with that reality? I think they struggled to come to terms with the implications of his resurrection. You see, normally when someone's raised from the dead, there's a person there who sort of prays and makes it happen. But it was not a prophet or a priest that performed a miracle and raised Jesus. There was nobody there. It could only be God himself, as the scriptures say, who intervened and brought breath to that buried body. In so doing, God himself was validating everything Jesus taught about himself. And Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses," in their old Bibles, "the prophets, the Psalms, must be fulfilled." In raising Jesus, God was validating him as the Messiah, the promised Messiah from the scriptures. And then it says Jesus opened their minds to understand those very scriptures that they'd been brought up with and soaked in. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, the Messiah is to suffer." Something that was not really in the mindset of most Jews at the time. They were looking for the Messiah to conquer and get rid of the Romans. But Jesus said, "No, it is written, the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. That is written. And that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, including the Gentiles, beginning from Jerusalem." And then he says, "You are witnesses of these things." Jesus was undeniably the long-awaited Messiah and Saviour of the world. And this truly blew their minds. No wonder they struggled to comprehend it all. It wasn't just a person. When Lazarus was raised to life, he remained a man who would die again. When Jesus was raised to life, he was the same person, and yet he was different. He could eat food, yet suddenly appear in and disappear from a locked room. His resurrection body was recognizable, yet somehow different. A point I tried to give you a visual image of by having the worst beard I've ever grown in my life up until Good Friday, shaving it off and turning up today, recognizable but different, with a very short beard. Jesus had become the living example of the eternal life that he had promised his followers. What they saw in him could one day be theirs. Those who would become like him in his death would share in his resurrection. The resurrection is not just a prophecy fulfilled from ancient times, but a promise foretold for our eternal destiny. The death of Jesus provided forgiveness for our sins. But the resurrection of Jesus promises eternal life to those who accept that forgiveness. Because he lives, we too can live when we put our faith and trust in him. Because forgiveness is a means to an end. It opens the possibility of eternal life. And the Bible defines eternal life as knowing God and knowing Jesus. So we are cleansed and forgiven so that we can live in friendship with a holy and perfect God forever. Like many people, David Attenborough believes that we can basically appreciate an artwork without knowing the artist, which is possible, I guess. In other words, we can enjoy life without needing to acknowledge the existence of a creator. But what if the artist or creator has already made himself known? What if that sort of unknown element, he says, the one that cannot be discerned, is actually being made clear to us? What if knowing him is the true purpose of our existence? Jesus said, when we know him, we will know God, not just as our creator, but as our Father. And we will know him forever. The resurrection reveals Jesus as the one who reconciles us to our God and Father. The resurrection of Jesus is what gives us assurance of life after death. The resurrection of Jesus is what gives us hope for eternal life with God. Now, on Good Friday, we looked at the phrase, just love. We saw that when God substitutes his Son to take our punishment for us, God confirms that he is both loving and just. He saves us while satisfying his just demands. It's not that God just loves us and forgives us without any consequence. It's that God's love is just and that he both saves and pays for our sin. God so loved us that he sent his Son to suffer the consequence of our sin. Just love. Today I want to look at that phrase, just love, and look at it from another angle. Because we believe that a buried body began to breathe, we therefore believe that Jesus' death on the cross achieved the full and final payment for our rejection of God's love and our desire to live independently of him. That means there is no further sacrifice or payment required for our forgiveness. We are saved, as the Bible says, by God's grace through faith alone and not by anything we offer. So what does God require of us once we have been saved? Just love. The two great commandments, to love God and to love others, are underlined and emphasized by the new commandment of Jesus, to love others as he loves. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 8 that love is the fulfillment of the law. It's everything God wants us to know and do. And it establishes and affirms and keeps ongoing with the relationship that we have with God and with each other. When we live lives of love as Christians, it is not with the purpose of counterbalancing our failure, but of being grateful conduits of God's grace. It's the resurrection of Jesus that transforms our penance into praise. What God requires of us is just love. And what God has in store for us is also just love. This new and eternal life that we share with Jesus in his resurrection will be experienced in a world where everything opposed to love has been removed. It will literally be just love in the presence of a God who is love and who brought us into eternal relationship with him through his just love. And all we need to do while we wait for that paradise is just love. And the best way to love other people is to tell them the good news of the resurrection of Jesus, which makes all this a reality for us. When Jesus said to his disciples, "You are witnesses of these things," he was not only saying, "You have seen my resurrection with your own eyes," he was also saying, "You will witness or testify to the truth of my resurrection when you share this good news with the world." The fact that the buried body of Jesus began to breathe changes our understanding of the meaning of life and what lies beyond death. The good news of Jesus is not just about a master who returns from the dead, but about a Messiah who reconciles us to God. It's about a man whose resurrection identifies and validates him as the Son of God and the Saviour of the world. It's about a sure and certain hope that because he lives, we too can live forever. And if we are his people, it is our job to share that good news with the world. And that's why we're here today, doing that very thing. Because as we saw in that song, as sure as we believe that there's a heaven above, we know there is something much more. I know there is something much more. Something even non-believers can believe in. If you have never believed before, but you want to begin to believe today, then come and talk to me or any other Christian after the service or during the week, or email me through the website or talk to a friend on the phone. And even if you just want to take a closer look at the evidence, please, let me encourage you to let us know and let us help. For the rest of us, we stand in this day rejoicing in the truth of what God has done for us and will do for us. And so let me conclude by saying, may God bless you and keep you safe this Easter. And may your faith in Jesus give you comfort, peace, assurance, and great joy, both now and forever. Amen. We pray. Loving God and Heavenly Father, you are love. And we thank you for loving us so much that you sent Jesus to die for our sin, so that we might no longer be separated from you, but rather be united with you in heaven for eternity. May the worries and pressures of our trouble-filled lives not diminish our joy and peace in believing that Jesus Christ is our risen Saviour and Lord. And may your Holy Spirit inspire and empower us to live in such a way that others are drawn to respond to your love for them in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. So it's appropriate now that we stand to sing a final hymn. Now, normally we would be passing a bag around, but since COVID times, we haven't done that. And so we have a stand at near the door there with a plate and a little bag on it for those who wish to donate that way rather than electronically, which is also an option, and you can find how to do that on our website. But for those who want to do it the analog way, there's a bag at the back there for your donations that'll help us maintain the ministry and spread the word. So let's stand as we sing together this hymn, "Thine Be the Glory."
Oh.
We're gathered in God's name, we grow in God's love, we go out in God's strength. Let's say these words to each other and together. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Before we have the final blessing, let me give you a couple of notices. There are new rosters for those who are on those rosters available in the foyer of the church as you leave. And for those who are interested in the funeral arrangements for Judy McMahon, her funeral will be on Thursday the 21st at 2:30 p.m. at the Macquarie Park Crematorium. And there was one other notice I shouldn't pass my attention, and that is it happens to be someone's birthday today. Russ, happy birthday. Have a chocolate egg. That's all right. You all get one.
Three.
Three
persons
with
one.
Okay. There we go. A theologian as well. All right. That's your Easter egg hunt. The kids are outside having theirs. You don't have to hunt very far. Grab one of these as we go out and share together in the joy of Easter since we don't have morning tea. But we will have a blessing. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the risen Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.
This service will conclude with a marvellous rendition of the song that we began with, Christ is Risen Today. Enjoy it as we leave, I hope.
Christus Dominus, Christus Dominus, Holy Resurrecti. Christus Dominus, Holy Resurrecti.
Christ the Lord is risen today.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Sons of men and angels sing.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Raise your joy and triumph's high.
Hallelujah.
Sing ye heavens and earth reply.
Hallelujah.